Good morning and welcome to the broadcast here at Hilltop Baptist Church. And as we always say, if you don't have a church home, and if you'd like to come and visit us, we would love to have you. And the title of my message today is How Can You Say No to God? We live in a time and a place where everybody that you ask if they're saved, they will tell you, yes, I'm saved. You ask them whether they go to church, they'll stumble around a little bit and try to come up with something, but most of the time they can't. And it's just a sad day that we live in where people don't want anything to do with God. They don't want anything to do with the Bible. They don't want anything to do with salvation. But we're going to look here in the Bible about a person that said no to God. And as we go over this today, if you're out there and you're lost and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and maybe you say the same thing that a lot of people say, you know, whenever anybody asks you, you know, you say, yeah, I'm saved. Well, I'm going to tell you at the very end of this, I'm going to tell you a few ways how you can know if you're saved or not, because the Bible says that the Bible wants us to know for sure if we're saved. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 18, starting off in verse 18, the Bible says, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth up. That was his first lie right there, because it's impossible to not sin, and it's impossible from the time you were young to never sin. And that's what he said. He said, I have, and he said, I have kept all these things I have kept from my youth up. Now then, Jesus heard these things and said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, and he was very for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Now, As I said in the beginning of this, the rich young ruler decided to, you know, tell a lie by saying, yeah, I'm perfect. You know, I've done all those. I've kept all the commandments. You'd be surprised today if you ask people, do they keep the commandments? Oh, yeah, I keep the commandments, all of them, all the time. Lie. It's impossible. But as we see here, we see that this rich young ruler decided to say no to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm afraid the world that we live in is doing right now. They are saying no to God. As we've said many times, you know, when we door knock, you know, Cobb County has to be have the highest rate of saved people in the entire world, because just about 99.9% of them say they're saved. And I'm sure some of them people are saved. But the Bible says that few there be that find it. And, you know, so that's definitely not everybody. But we do know that the Lord Jesus Christ gives everyone the opportunity to be saved. There's not one person breathing on this earth right now that if God drew you, because you have to be drawn by God, and God said he will draw all men unto himself, you have to be convicted. God, the Holy Ghost of God has to be working on you, showing you that you are a lost sinner. And anybody that could happen to can be saved. The Calvinists out there, and I hope that you listen, and you listen very closely to what I say. If you're a Calvinist, I feel very sorry for you, because you've been misled. John Calvin was a spiritual retard. He his philosophy about what the Bible says, he was corrupt, he was wrong. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but on his deathbed, he didn't even know if he was one of the elect. He was stupid, okay? All kind of different people, Joseph Smith and, you know, Armstrong, you know, anybody can come up with any kind of a theory or a thought or a religion, doesn't mean that it's true. The King James Bible says over and over and over that whosoever will can be saved. And my God, my Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me tells me in this King James Bible that if he draws you and you say yes and you believe with faith and you repent of your sin and you put your faith and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you put your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin, the only way you or anyone on this earth that ever lived on this earth or ever will live on this earth can be forgiven is by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I say, I don't mean to pick on people, but when I had no idea how widespread Calvinist was, and I had no idea how much it had infiltrated even the Baptist churches. And I'm here to say, my name's Chris Baum, and I go to Hilltop Baptist Church, and I'm telling you by the authority of the Word of God that if you believe that God would have babies be born and they are already condemned to hell, and there's nothing that they can do to ever get saved because they were not one of the elect, you're stupid, okay? All right, let me get off of that one. We see here that this rich young ruler said no to God, and he pretty much ended his his chance to get saved at that time. It's not to say he couldn't have been saved at another time, but in this passage of Scripture, he has, said no, okay? And in verse 20, let's look at it again, or 19. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these things have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing." And, Jesus knew where his heart was. His heart was in his riches. Nowadays, people's heart is in all kind of different things. They're in sports. The Bible says that anything that you love more than God is an idol. And if you're lost, it doesn't really matter because you're lost and it doesn't really apply to you. But if you're saved and you are definitely a born-again Christian, it is very easy nowadays to let something be more important to you than God. There's many things. Money is a big one. Sports is a big one. But what was this rich young ruler trusting in? He was trusting in his riches, because just the simple, just the simple idea that he had riches, shows that how consuming they can be. Some of the saddest and sorrowful people that I've ever met in my life are, rich people. I haven't met a whole lot of them, but the ones that I have met that were very rich, it was sad because they had all this money and all this wealth, but they didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't have the peace that passes all understanding. In 23, the Bible says, "And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How heartily shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Do you think that the Lord Jesus Christ was saying that all rich people can't get saved? No, because they would fall into the same category as whosoever will. And, in 25, the Bible says, "For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And that is because when you have all this wealth and all this fame and all this fortune, it's going to be very hard to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you notice, in verse 22, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell that thou doest have, and distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." See, we know that the rich young ruler was not willing to put aside his riches. We know the rich young ruler was not willing in any way to come and follow him. And as I've said over and over here already, you know, what is it that you want, you know, that, in other words, when the Bible says to repent, you know, nowadays, people are living in such a wicked lifestyle. I thought it was pretty bad when I was young and what I experienced, and it was very wicked. And back in that day, you know, in the 60s and 70s, it was, you know, a wicked time to live. But today, it's much, much worse. But it's just so sad when I stop to think that people would not be willing to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So many people think that, you know, they have to stop doing this. Well, I have to stop doing this, and I have to stop doing that. I can't tell you how many people, since I've been saved, probably people that I've known very well, well, let me clean my act up a little bit. Let me quit doing some of these things, and then maybe I can come to church. I can tell you right now from experience that anything that you stop, anything that you quit doing, won't amount to a hill of beans. If the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't change you, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you changed your life, you didn't get saved. If the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost of God comes and abodes in you when you get saved, they will show you just how dirty and filthy you are and exactly what you need to do. The Bible says that God changes us. We have to be willing to let him, and we have to be willing to repent. But, you know, repentance is a necessity to be saved. Now, I'd like to just explain to you from the Word of God, if I could. You know, we promote heaven so much in preaching and in Sunday school. And when we're witnessing, you know, you don't want to miss heaven. You don't want to miss heaven. And it's very, very true. You do not want to miss heaven. But there is a very, very, you know, severe thing that will happen to you if you don't go to heaven. And that is that you'll go to hell. The Bible is very clear that there is only two places to go when you die, and you will not have a chance to change anything after you die. You'll have a chance to change from going to hell to heaven if you're alive, but if you turn away, you know, the Holy Ghost of God over and over and over again. Say there's somebody praying real hard that you would get saved, and God puts conviction on you, and he draws you, and you say no, just like this rich young ruler. This is exactly what will happen to you. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And This is the condemnation. That's exactly what the next words say in verse 19. And this is the condemnation. This is what will happen to you if you say no to God. Okay? People will only get to heaven God's way. There is no other way. And guess who it's through? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they were wrought in God. The Bible is very, very clear on this topic of heaven and hell. I wish that there was just some way that all we had to do was just read the Bible to you, pray with you, talk to you, and that was some sort of an automatic guarantee that you would get saved. But my friend, it's up to you to decide. Jesus did everything that he could possibly do to get you to go to heaven. And it's up to you to make the choice. Listen to what it says in Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profitable if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It is so overwhelming and so sad to me when I see people reject Christ day after day. When we sit in church services, in case you didn't know it, the Word of God is preached very hard and clear at this church, and conviction falls on this place almost every time we have services. We know that all our church members aren't saved, and we have visitors, and we know that in each and every service there's probably lost people in here, and yet they turn and they say no. In John 3:19, this is what I just read, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. And, we know that, the Bible's very clear that God loves us, okay? But he's also a God of wrath. He's a God of judgment. And, there's going to be two judgments. There's going to be the judgment seat of Christ that'll be for the saved people. And we will be judged also, but we will not have to answer for each and every sin that we ever committed. Especially before we got saved, because those are all under the blood. But we will have to give an account of ourselves, what we have done, whether it be good or bad, since we got saved. But the great white throne judgment is going to be a horrific horrible time, because all the lost that has ever lived is going to be at that judgment. And when that judgment's over, when them books are open, and they and God shows that their name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they see that they are going to be heaved into a lake of fire, they're not going to be happy. They're going to say, you know, I should have listened. I really should have listened. You know, when them people came and knocked on my door, I should have listened. You know, when Pastor Watts was preaching, and, you know, he told me, you know, what would happen to me if I didn't get saved, and my heart was pumping, and I knew I should have got saved. You know, I really should have, because now look what's going to happen to me. And you know what? There's nobody in hell that's going to be able to blame anybody but themselves. They're not going to be able to blame God. They're not going to be able to blame all the people over the years that tried to love them and show them the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to have to endure a very hot, you know, horrible pit of hell for eternity, and it'll be, you know, a lot of times I think people don't really quite understand this, but nobody is going to be in hell. Well, let me put it to you this way. People will not be in hell for the sin that they did, whether they murdered or raped or stole or drank or did drugs or whatever they did. They will not be in hell for that reason. They will be in hell because they did not get saved, that they did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not get their sins forgiven. That is the only reason why they will be in hell, because the Bible says that, just like we read here, that men like darkness rather than light, and people are bullheaded, and they're you know, they don't want God, they don't want no time for it. But I can tell you for a fact, based on the Word of God, that when they're heaved into a lake of fire, it is not going to be a good time for them. And I can also say that I have known some very evil and wicked people in my lifetime. And in history, there's been some very ungodly people. And I would not wish anybody to go to hell. You know, I wish that they would repent and turn their life over to the Lord Jesus Christ and let the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanse their sins. And in closing, I'd just like to say, if you, again, if you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you.